Welcome to the Nonprofit News Feed, nonprofitnewsfeed.com, bringing you the best news from the best sector, news from a nonprofit perspective and what matters. This show brought to you by Whole Whale, a B Corp digital agency. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the Nonprofit News Feed. My name is George Weiner, the Chief Whaler of Whole Whale, and we have Nick Azulay, Digital Strategist at Whole Whale. Nick, how are we doing?
We are doing great, George. How are you doing?
Doing okay today, and keeping up with our news at Whole Whale, the digital agency that brings you this podcast. There's been something concerning. There's been something concerning on my mind. I've brought it up before, but again, it's this beginning of what I see for search-generated experience, the chat-first approach to searches and discovery at a large scale that is going to change the way information is discovered. And at Whole Whale, like this Google update recently that rolled up and finished in March, a Google Core update, this is like sort of triggered a massive loss, like around 40% loss of traffic to certain pages of our site, which hurts. It just hurts. And you know, they talk about quality and things like that, but I, you know, looking at the data, see what's going on, and it seems like there are, you know, major changes that are only just beginning and also probably compounded by search and interest that is being shifted to a chat first question answer interaction that people are now moving toward. So like that's a big thing at Whole Whale for us right now that I'm paying attention to.
Yeah, George, I appreciate your transparency in sharing it with our audience. And that brings us to our first story, in which we want to highlight what we're seeing with regards to Google's March 2024 core update and what it means for nonprofits. So for anyone who doesn't know, Google updates its core search engine kind of ranking, indexing, crawling system periodically. And essentially, it revamps the methodology for deciding how, when, and where to place certain organic links within the context of a search engine result page, right? So kind of how the algorithm works, updates to the algorithm. And in their March update to the algorithm, which spanned 45 days, a ton of both for-profit and nonprofit organizations have seen meaningful to significant diminishment in the percentage of organic traffic coming to their website. So they decreased the significance of links as a ranking determinant. They prioritize content caliber, credibility, and the substantive nature of content. So that could be potentially damaging for smaller nonprofit organizations that don't have, you know, oodles of quality content that they're able to produce. And we've seen a precipitous decline exceeding 60% in a good amount of cases in organic search traffic, according to data pulled from Search Engine Journal. And I think the narrative we want to pull here, George, is that for nonprofits, this is existential, right? So many people engage with nonprofits and vice versa. Nonprofits engage with so many people via technology, whether it's social media, that's an important avenue, but also Google search, right? If you're someone who's food insecure and you're Googling food banks near me, the ability for that food bank to show up as meaningful could potentially be influenced by how Google changes or manipulates its algorithm. Just as kind of, you know, the Google Ads environment does the same. And I think Google recognized this, right? That's why the ad grant program exists. But all this is culminating, George, in what we are expecting to see, which is the full rollout of SGE, Google's Search Generated Experience, which will at some point later this year, early next year, be rolled out universally and will prioritize, as you say, that question answer format for directly answering queries within the search engine result page without taking users to the site. And it remains to be seen what the effects will be for nonprofits. But George, it's coming. We know it's coming. We don't entirely know what the effects will be, but we have some pretty strong hunches. And this is really concerning because we value the role of nonprofits in organic search and their ability to communicate with the public. And we're at a moment in our society and the evolution of technology in which being able to communicate over tech platforms is the ability to communicate, period. And this substantively changes that landscape.
Yeah, this is a threat to nonprofits, especially those that deal in the public domain for information, access to information in that flow. Disintermediating them may seem like a high-minded thing, but let's go very hyper-local. Let's just say folks that are talking about diseases like Lyme disease or Parkinson's or giving valuable information for patient audiences. If instead that information is supplied by a GPT, by an AI generated response, they're not potentially being shown the communities that they could connect with, the extra parts that nonprofits provide for those communities. Let's say you're also interested, maybe I myself, a parent, checking on whether or not family-friendly, child-friendly for certain ages films are. I want a trusted source like Common Sense Media, but instead, maybe I'm asking an AI what it thinks rather than researchers. And we're then removing them from that flow. We're removing also that brand relationship with an audience, which will hurt connection, which will hurt familiarity, which will hurt trust, which will hurt ultimately donations and support for large amounts of infrastructure nonprofits play in our information diet, healthy information diet, unpaid for, not supported by corporate interest diet of information. I just see a lot of dominoes flipping over here. So while this is just a like, oh, it's a Google Core March update, one of the underpinnings I saw when analyzing our traffic and our traffic loss and now beginning to see some of our clients is that if a GPT, if an AI thing can create the content thereabouts of the page of content that already existed, that content is in trouble. There are tactics that we are taking actively to mitigate this, but it's a lot of work and it's a lot of work to come.
Yeah, George, it is definitely a lot of work. And it's something we're actively working on with our clients to help understand what's coming, what we know, what we don't know, potential mitigation strategies. So if that is you and you're interested, go to whole.com or reach out directly, and we could potentially chat about helping your organization future-proof for the coming wave of AI search.
I mean, it's not even future-proofing, it's mitigation. If you're planning on increasing your traffic, I would say let that ship sail. I want you checking on your traffic right now. I want you to go in and ask the team, give me an organic traffic report. I want you to look at this year versus this year prior and also this year trailing for the past 5 months. Just take a look at what's going on so you can get a look at whether or not this is impacting you. Like, that's the homework. I rarely give homework. There you go.
Great advice, George. Listen to your teachers.
Do as I say, not as I do.
All right, I'm just going to go to the next one. This is from CNN. George, we don't usually highlight personnel changes. This is a pretty substantial one. Right after we sent out our newsletter, or as we were writing it, Melinda French Gates announced she is resigning from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So, of course, Melinda French Gates, formerly married to Bill Gates, together still sat as co-chairs on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But with Melinda French Gates leaving, resignation, the organization itself will be chaired solely by Bill Gates, and the organization will be renamed simply the Gates Foundation. And she has plans to focus her $12.5 billion in resources on women and families, which is a personal passion of hers. George, this is, again, a personnel change, something we don't typically cover, but the Gates Foundation is one of, if not the largest philanthropic organizations. There's a handful of organizations that are really, really, really important to the sector as a whole. The Gates Foundation, the Open Society Foundation. This is a big deal, and this is something we were paying close attention to. Is this, will the divorce, you know, or hurt the philanthropic center writ large? I'm not sure we saw any evidence it did, but this is an important follow-up on that threat.
Yeah, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has total revenues of about $7 billion in total revenue and total assets sitting on $68 billion. So it is a massive force for philanthropy. And I think, you know, I'm curious of whether or not Melinda Gates takes a page out of the Mackenzie Scott playbook and begins to give it away at a higher rate of giving, and then also for nonprofits paying attention and playing in the women and families ecosystem, you know, a new foundation rolling up or targeting giving maybe an opportunity.
Yeah, potentially true. Interesting to pay attention to, George. But speaking of Mackenzie Scott and Mackenzie Scott's, I guess, ex-husband, our next story is about Amazon. Amazon Web Services has announced Imagine Grants for Nonprofits. This is an initiative aimed at empowering organizations to leverage cloud technology for what they call, quote, mission critical projects. Applications are open from May 3rd to June 3rd. So we're in that application window with three distinct award categories: the Pathfinder Generative AI Award, the Go Further, Faster, and Momentum to Modernize Award. And I'm sorry, those were two awards in there. And these grants include financial support, promotional credit, implementation guidance, marketing opportunities. So essentially, the award is to help nonprofits working on kind of like tech-centric mission statements scale with various support on both tech and funding. So, George, this is really interesting. Why did we choose to include this one in particular in the newsletter?
It's a massive investment in infrastructure funding, specifically with regard to technology, both, I'd say, on innovative things potentially being done or planned by nonprofits to use AI, which is awesome. But also, you know, even on the smaller side, this ranges from 50,000 up to 200,000 in terms of these different things, but for modernizing infrastructure. And right now, that sort of like glow up with AI is very real. And we're, you know, helping some folks craft some of these proposals with CauseWriter, saying like, all right, what are the responsible ways you can implement AI internally and alongside your stakeholders that will actually lead toward increased impact? And I'm excited. I love this type of focused infrastructure grant in moments like this where, you know what, it does cost money. It does cost money to implement and roll out AI, not just the training, but all of the costs associated in doing this the right way. You know, I kind of love this as the tech enthusiast here.
Yeah, it's cool to see. And I think especially cool for nonprofits that, like, you know, don't get seed or venture or angel funding opportunities to do something big, that they might be sitting on a fantastic idea and they just need the funding to get it going and get it off the ground. So they need someone to take a bet on them. So this grant seems like a cool way to get that moving. All right, I'll take us to our next one, which we'll cover kind of briefly, but a weird one from the New York Post, and that is that the Black Lives Matter Global Network is suing the organization called the Tides Foundation, which has been accused of kind of maliciously helping college protests. We can debate the salience of that. But anyway, the debate is over a $33 million lawsuit in which the Black Lives Matter Global Network claims the Tides diverted funds meant for them to other groups. And it centers around the questions of fiscal sponsorship for various causes and questions about what that means. So, George, why did we choose to include that one?
I think the New York Post, surprise, maybe played this the wrong way. I think underpinning this for me is the fact that BLM, Global Network Foundation, relied on the Tides Foundation as a fiscal sponsor. So that means they didn't have their own 501c3. And then in 2022 began the shift to have their own C3 because of the professionalization of how they wanted to evolve as a nonprofit. Now, when you have a fiscal sponsor, usually in those agreements, it is that they will take a certain percent, you know, whatever, 10 to 15% of donations. In turn, they steward the money. They offer tax exemption for donors. And they, you know, if you say, hey, I need to pay this person this much, they have the bank account, they run that bank account. But those funds are allocated directly toward the organization through which that fiscal sponsor relationship came through. So I think there's probably like brand confusion battles here, but Tides Foundation is accused of and has given money to other BLM organizations branded as such in local communities. And that's the question. So it's an interesting one to say for fiscal sponsors in general, which as a rule, I like. I think it is a very fast way to get your nonprofit off of the ground with the exemptions in place to see if there's something there. Rather than the massive amount of paperwork usually necessary for creating a nonprofit. So I'm curious of how this one gets settled in the courts.
Yeah, George, it's an interesting one. And I think particularly important for those activist organizations, right? Often they start as kind of like collectives. They start as, you know, Facebook groups and kind of like a decentralized network of activists. And when they start to need to formalize, this is a really viable way for them to do that efficiently. So it'll be interesting to see how this shapes out and what the implications will be for this fiscal sponsorship relationship. All right, George, I think we're getting to that time where we go into the feel-good story. This one comes from Arizona Big Media, and it's about their Champions of Change finalists. Arizona Big Media, AZ Business Magazine, has announced the finalists for the Champions of Change in Arizona. And the ceremony will be held in 2 days and will celebrate individuals like Taniqua Broughton of the state of Arizona and Jennifer Caraway of Joy Bus Diner to local nonprofit organizations. And the whole point is to highlight visionary nonprofit leaders in the state. So cool shout out to the folks down in Arizona. I'm sure it's much warmer than it is here.
I think this is something that more organizations can take advantage of with regard to like highlighting and promoting members of your community with these awards. You know, how much does it really cost to create a vetted, amazing list of local leaders that are doing great and are probably, I'm willing to bet, underappreciated for the level of commitment and contribution they have in those communities. So, you know, I picked this one up. I was like, yeah, put it out there, put the press release. You should have your own champions of change in your backyards, in your communities, because it's always a good excuse to highlight the real leaders and heroes in our local communities. All right, Nick, I've got a dad joke meets nonprofit joke for you because that's what we do here at the end. They made it this far, and this is what you get. This is what you get for making it this far. Why did Second Harvest hire an SEO expert?
I don't know, George.
They wanted to grow organic.
Oh, I see.
Organic traffic.
Entendre there.
Yeah,
I see.
Organic food, organic traffic.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I dig it.
All righty. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, George.
This has been the Nonprofit Newsfeed Summary of the Week. Thanks for joining us. As always, you can find resources at nonprofitnewsfeed.com. And don't forget to sign up for our weekly email summaries of the best news from the best sector.